Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord. We are so happy, so grateful, and so excited to be here for another episode with Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson, coming to you live from the great city of Florence, South Carolina, with One Touch Transformation. And I am just so delighted to be here once again to give some encouragement, to get some motivation, and hopefully give you something that you can, you know, benefit from, something that'll help you make it through the next day or even through the rest of the week. So thank you so much for joining in for episode 1339. So we know that a lot of things are going on right now, but we just want to focus on some things that will encourage us, some things that will continue to keep us, because we know things are always going to happen. Every day is not going to be a good day. But at the end of the day, we know where our strength comes from. We know who we are relying on, and that is none other but our God, our Father, who is going to take care of us regardless of any situation. So again, I am Arthenius Jackson with One Touch Transformation. So if this is your first time joining in, I want to share a little bit about One Touch Transformation. It is a nonprofit organization that focuses on sexual abuse prevention and awareness. And our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while empowering and encouraging all victims and survivors. So we are out in the community, whether, you know, physically or virtually now, which is, you know, the new norm, but we are out, you know, making people aware of sexual abuse that has been going on, still is going on, but now is the time to talk about it, is to continue the conversation even as we are making people aware of it. You know, because for so many years and so many generations, it's been a taboo topic, something that's been swept under the rug, something that's been, you know, stayed within in families because everyone was so ashamed to talk about it. But we cannot be afraid. We cannot be. It's happening in families. It's happening in communities. It's happening in churches. And so we cannot allow the enemy to silence us when it comes to talking about such a topic such as this. I am not afraid to speak up about it. I'm not afraid to talk about it because I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So I know what it means or what it feels like to be alone or feel like that there is no hope or feel like there is no light at the end of the tunnel, to feel like you're trapped in your past. God, he's brought me a mighty long way, And I know if he can do it for me, he can do it for the next person. The same, you know, grace, the same mercy, and the same favor that he has for my life, he can have that same grace and mercy and favor in the next victim and survivor's life. And so that is what One Touch Transformation is all about. Not only are we making people aware of it or just, you know, focusing on the awareness part, but we also want to focus on the healing part because that is just as important. And healing, there's no set time for it. There's no, you know, there's no secret formula for it, but it just takes time. It takes making the decision to want to heal and seeking the help that you need in order to heal. So that means getting more than prayer and fasting and reading your word, but also utilizing the resources that are available in your community. There are rape crisis centers in almost every location, and if you need to know where yours is, there's access to it just by searching the internet. One of the best resources that I've come across during my journey was RAIN.org, which is RAINN.org. If you type in your zip code, it will notify you or let you know where the closest rape crisis center is in your area. So there is help out there. Do not be afraid to seek help. Do not be afraid to ask for help because healing is available for you. I want you to be better. I want you to become stronger and know that the strength is already within you, but you've got to find the power. The power lies within you. So you may have been silenced. You may have thought that you've lost your power, but it is still within you. But it's up to you to make that decision to heal and, you know, to pray, to talk about it. And you don't have to share it with everyone. You don't have to be on a large platform just to share your story. But the first thing that you should do is tell someone, just to get it off your chest. I promise you, you will feel so much better. You probably have been carrying the burden for so long, but whenever you release it, you begin to feel better. And I can talk about all of this because I'm a witness. I've been through it. I've lived it. And so that's why I want healing for you. I want you to experience true freedom. I want you to live a life of abundance. And in order to live that life of abundance, you've got to be free, free from your pain, free from your past. And this goes for anyone who has endured any type of hardship, any type of traumatic experience. A lot of us have been through so much, but we just have not dealt with it. We have not faced it. We have not been able to start the healing journey. But now is the time. Now is the time for you to experience true freedom. God wants you to experience true freedom. He does not want us to live in bondage. He does not want us to live bound up, but he wants us to live free. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he wants you to live a life of abundance. He wants to free you. But it's up to you. You have to be the one to make that decision to take that step in order to start your healing journey or to experience, you know, freedom. So keep all of that in mind. So One Touch Transformation, like I said, we are, you know, virtually, you know, spreading awareness, spreading healing, and doing whatever it takes to continue the conversation, even during this time, you know, this global pandemic. And it's been a little difficult, but all we can do is adjust. And that's something that we'll have to do, you know, all our lives. We're going to have to adjust to different situations. We're going to have to adjust to our surroundings. So, it has been an adjustment, but at the same time, it has allowed us to be more creative. We can still connect. That's the amazing thing about the internet and about being virtual. We're still able to connect. So, and if you are still able to connect, then you're still able to get, you know, a word out. You're still able to get some encouragement out. You're still able to motivate. It does not mean we have to stop everything that we're doing. We're just simply adjusting. So just because, you know, the world may have paused or may have, you know, it slowed down a little bit, it does not mean that we completely stop working. We learn how to adjust. We become more creative, and we continue to fulfill the purpose that God has for us. We continue to walk this journey of life. Because, you know, we're still waking up from day to day, thank God. And so God has still has those resources instilled inside of us. He's given us the tools that we need even when it's time to adjust. So we still have to continue the work of God, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on around us, no matter, you know, whatever it is, we still have to continue the work for God because he's going to hold us accountable. What's going to happen if we stop working, stop encouraging people, if we stop preaching the word, if we stop, you know, we cannot. We cannot. The word never fails. It'll never pass. The word is what's going to keep us. It's what's going to sustain us. It's what's going to keep us going. So if we know that people need a word, if we know that people need encouragement, then it means we got to keep working. We have to keep working despite what comes and goes, despite what's going on. Even though so much is going on right now, we cannot get distracted by what's going on. We cannot let that hinder us from doing the work of God because, like I said, God will hold us accountable. And what are we going to say to him when we face him in judgment? Or, you know, even if he, even right now, if he convicts you, like, why aren't you working? Why aren't you doing what I, you know, ask you to do or call you to do? Why aren't you walking in your purpose? Oh, you got distracted. Oh, it hindered your walk. No, we just have to learn how to adjust and continue to stay on the path, to stay the course, because we still have work to do. We still have work to do. So many people are experiencing depression. Anxiety levels are on high, and it's up to us. As believers, it's up to us to, you know, be a light, bring some joy to these people's lives, because that's what God wants us to do. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Every day isn't going to be easy. I know. we're going to feel some of the effects as well. Even as believers, we are still, you know, human. We're still immortal humans. So we are going to feel the effects of everything that's going on. So I'm not trying to downplay any of that. And I know that our mental health is important. Our emotional health is important. All of that is important. But we have to remember to tap into our main resource, or the main source, which is God. And he's the only thing, he's the only one that will help us continue our work. So we may have to, you know, sit back or pause, but don't stop. Don't stop working for God. Don't stop whatever you do. Just tap into your source. Tap so you can get that strength. Continue to keep connecting to God. You know, reconnect over and over, how, you know, however long you need to, how many times you need to. Power up. Because we're going to need it. We're going to continue to need it. Even as things continue to worsen, we're going to have to stay close to God as much as we can. We're going to have to pray as hard as we can, stay in his word as hard as we can, because it's the only thing, it's the only way that we'll keep our strength. It's the only way we'll keep going. And so I know elections are going on right now, and I'm not going to focus on that at all over this next hour, because I want some positivity flowing through the waves. We want to talk about, you know, some positive things, keep a positive vibe going. And so I want to just share a little bit of what I shared actually at my church last weekend. We were talking about the word joy for the entire month of October. And so I was thinking about just the word light itself. And 1 John 1 and 5 through 7 is going to be where we're going to be talking about our, you know, the light and how we can draw strength from the light, how we're able to be encouraged by the light. And when I'm talking about the light, I'm talking about God, of course. And, you know, he is the source of our strength, the strength of our life. And the word even tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. He's the one that strengthens us, empowers us, encourages us, motivates us when no one else can. And it's internal. It's nothing that we can get from anywhere else. We cannot draw strength. Well, I'm not going to say you can't draw strength from anyone or anything else, but if you want that internal strength, yes, if you want the internal strength, and the only one who can, you know, give it to us the way that we need it, so that we're able to utilize it in a way that it needs to be utilized. Because if we depend on other things or other sources, then eventually it's going to fade. Eventually it will burn out. But thank God for God and his strength. It never fades. It never runs out. We can always count on him despite what's going on. He's not like man where, you know, he's for you one day and then don't feel like it the next day. Thank God we don't. Thank God he doesn't treat us that way. You know, he's gracious and he's so merciful. And we can go to him anytime we need him and every time we need him. And he comes through. So we serve a wonderful God, mighty God, an amazing God. And I'm just so grateful that we have an opportunity to go to him every time we need him. And not even when we just need him, even when we just, you know, want to talk to him and just praise him for who he is and thank him for all that he does. Because believe it or not, God doesn't have to do the things that he does for us. And I don't know how often we think about that, but he's just that gracious and he's that kind, and he deserves all the worship. He deserves the praise. He deserves the glory and the honor. And we should never fail to give it to him. Never. So I want to talk about the light. The light. Not just, you know, a light, but the light. The ultimate light. The one who lights the way for us. Lights the way whenever, you know, we are in the dark or facing dark situations, not sure how we're going to see our way through. And we cannot depend on anything else. We cannot depend on anyone else to see us through. Because man can fail us, and man will fail us from time to And we can't get upset when they do because he already tells us to not put our trust in any man. Because when you put your trust in man and they fail you, it will discourage you every time. But man, they will fail you. They're prone to fail you because, you know, we're human. We're going to fail each other because we're human. But he tells us, don't put your full trust in any man. So that means we got to put our full trust in God because he is only one, the only true and living God that will see us through. So we have to keep that in mind. Always, at all times, when we're facing hardship, when we're facing trouble, when we're, you know, in these dark situations and going through dark times, we have to remind ourselves that the only person that we can depend on, the only one that we can count on is the light. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into the word. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Talking about that light, back in history, Benjamin Franklin, you know, he's credited to have discovered the connection between lightning and electricity around, you know, 1752. And maybe you've seen pictures or videos that depicted him, you know, holding the kite and he had the key attached at the end. But I did discover this while I was reading on it. The lightning did not strike the kite directly, because I know a lot of times they depict it as if he's holding, you know, he has the kite in the key and the lightning strikes the kite. But that was not the case. It did not strike the kite directly. Otherwise, he wouldn't have survived. I mean, lightning hitting that and that electricity going through him. So, no, that did not happen. But this is what happened. The kite did pick up an electrical charge from the storm. So now I can only imagine how Benjamin Franklin may have felt when he put these two and two together and discover the connection between the two elements. And maybe he, you know, cried out excitedly, "Eureka, what a discovery. This is awesome." You know how it is whenever you figure something out, you get excited, you're joyous, and like, phew, finally. But in this first letter written by John, he talks about his experience with God. And even if we back it up to the second verse, he says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." So John discovered and witnessed a life that he just couldn't keep quiet about, a life that he just had to share, talking about this life. I mean, John is describing like, amazing light that I've come in contact with, that I have witnessed. And we can't keep it to ourselves. We've got to share this good news with you. We got to tell you about this light. And so the first thing John tells him is that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So God, he is light, period. Another version I read, it says that God is light, and not the faintest shadow of darkness can exist in him. God is light, and not the faintest shadow of darkness can exist in him. Now, let's pause here for a second. So if we are to be Christ-like, we're believers, we're Christians, and we are to be Christ-like. This is God is light, and not the faintest shadow of darkness can exist in him. And remember, He said earlier, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. So putting those two together, you can't say you have fellowship with Christ or call yourself the light, but walk in darkness, because then you're lying. Your life is a lie. And as John says, in him there is no darkness at all, the same has to go for us. If we are going to be an example of Christ, be Christ-like, then we have to follow after the light. We have to walk in the light as he is in the light. So we, as believers, we have to be a light, and we cannot say we walk in the light but live in darkness, because then we're living a lie. And we know that God is not a liar. So we cannot be an example if we are light. We cannot be the light of the world and live in darkness. It just won't work. We cannot be an example of God like that, because then we're making, you know, making them out of a liar. Because if God is light and he doesn't live in darkness, then the same has to go for us. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. The shadow of darkness can exist in him. So what does that mean? If we're not there yet, then we need to get there, because we cannot be living examples of Christ when he's being this light and we're saying we are a light, but walking and living in darkness. We can't. It's not going to work. So just a question I want you to ask yourself. So how did you feel when you first discovered the light? How did you feel when you first discovered God, when he came into your life? When you welcomed him into your life, when you started your as they call it, the Christian journey, or whenever you answered the call to salvation, how did you feel when you first discovered the light? Now, we may not have said, Eureka, but we may have said, thank you, Jesus, or thank you, God. That may have come out of your mouth, or maybe you were even lost for words and just overtaken, that all you could do was wave your hand as tears rolled down your face. But how did you feel when you discovered the light? I believe there's a song, an old song that said, how did you feel when you came out of the wilderness? But how did you feel when you discovered the light? If you can just go back to that day or that night when you finally surrendered to God, when you just said, you know what, I give up. I can't do this on my own. I must follow after you. I must take on, your ways. Put myself aside. Pick up the cross and follow. How did you feel when you discovered the light? Was it the greatest thing that you discovered? Was it the greatest thing that became a part of your life? What were your emotions? Because you may have been walking in darkness, or you may have been lost, or you may have been dealing with some, internal things that was causing you to be lost and causing you to be in the dark. But when you finally just gave it over to God, when you decided to just, let it go, when you discovered that you couldn't handle it on your own and that you cannot do life without God, how did you feel when you finally gave in to God and discovered the light? How did you feel? Think about how you felt before you found the light. What were you going through? What was going on? How did you feel before you found the light? Now, some may not admit it, but before all of us found the light, we were all walking in darkness. We were all in dark places. We were all walking in the dark, walking in sin. The Bible declares in Psalms 51 and 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So right there, that lets us know that we were all imperfect from the beginning. We were born in sin, born in darkness, almost like a lost cause. We could have been while walking in the dark. So we've all been in the dark. We were born to, you know, walking in darkness, but we were not born to stay there. So we cannot use that as a clutch. We cannot use that as an excuse. Oh, this is how I was, or this is how I am. No, God doesn't want you to remain in a dark place. I mean, how effective can you be in a dark place? How are you able to help anyone in a dark place? Think about that. I mean, even as believers, it's a little difficult. It's a little difficult to help someone when we're not at our best. Not saying that it can't be done, because, you know, the spirit is always willing. Spirit is always willing, but our flesh gets weak. Our mind gets weak. So how effective are we when we're not at our best? We're not too effective. We're not the, you know, most effective we can be. So we cannot stay in the dark. God does not want us to stay in the dark. And naturally, when we're entering into a dark room, what is the first thing we do? We look for a light switch. We try to figure out, you know, you feel your way through. This is me trying to find a light switch, especially if it's a room that you're not familiar with. So walking into an unfamiliar room, an unfamiliar dark room, you're going to feel for a light switch, because the longer you're in the dark, then you're more prone to stubbing your toe, hitting your head on something, because you're unfamiliar in that area. But a lot of people spend so much time in the dark that it becomes a part of them, and they become comfortable, and it makes it harder for them to pull away from the dark. But God did not design us to stay in the dark. He didn't design us to live in the dark. So naturally, we have lights in all of our rooms, in our house. And so the first thing we normally do when we walk into a dark room, we flip the switch. It makes no sense to have lights in the house and never use them. You cannot maneuver comfortably in the dark. I mean, you can move around, but you risk getting hurt or even hurting someone else if it's more than one in that room, because neither one of you can see each other, see what's going on, know what's surrounding you. You don't know what objects are in the way. So you risk hurting yourself. You risk hurting someone else whenever you're trying to walk in the dark or just maneuver your way in the dark. So we need the light the same way we need the light to save us from sin, to save us from darkness. And we know that God is the only one who can do it, because he has the faintest shadow of darkness. Not the faintest shadow of darkness, that's how it says. Not the faintest shadow of darkness can exist in him. So it can't even exist in him, because that's how powerful his light is. That's how powerful. So darkness cannot even exist. That is amazing. So powerful. That's how, when you just think about how powerful God is, that even darkness cannot exist. You know that it's some strong light, and we gain strength from that same light because of how powerful he is, how mighty he is. It's where we draw our strength from him, from the light. So John says God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him but walk in darkness, remember he said we lie and do not the truth. So if we were to say that we enjoyed fellowship with him and continue living in darkness, then we'd both be telling and living a lie. Our words, our mouth can say a lot, but the way we live will tell the true story. So we cannot proclaim that, oh, I'm the light of the world, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm Christ-like, but yet live in darkness. It's a lie. So he said, you'd be telling and living a lie. So we have to pattern our life, actions, the way we treat people. Because sometimes believers overlook even that small thing, the way you treat people, the way you treat one another. I mean, how many times have you seen people one way in church, and then whenever you see them outside of those four walls, their attitude completely changes? No, ma'am, no, sir. We cannot have the faintest darkness in there. Can I have the faintest shadow? Yes, not even darkness, but he says the shadow of darkness. The shadow. So the shadow is not, remember, shadow is not even the real thing, but it's a part of the real thing. So being one way in church and then another way, that's having a shadow of darkness. And so we have to pattern ourselves after Christ, after this light. I mean, look what this light does. The light draws people. Again, naturally, when we have the outside light, the porch light, it draws bugs. Everyone wants to come to the light. And so the same way that Christ drew the people as he walked this earth, we can do the same thing. We can draw people, but we're drawing them so they can be closer to him. What we do, what we say, our actions, the words that we, the way that we treat others is what's going to draw people to us and ultimately to Christ. That is our purpose, to be Christ-like, to be like him, to be a light. And being a light, you will be able to draw people to you so you can encourage them and empower them. And God will work through you to perform miracles, to perform his healings, to, you know, perform his blessings as a light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Shine like stars, like the sun. Because even at nighttime, the only thing we see appearing at night, you know, ultimately, are the stars and the moon. They stick out and it's beautiful, you know? And then think about a sunrise. It's beautiful. It's the brightest thing early in the morning. It's the first thing that you see, and it catches your attention. Have you ever just went to the beach and watched the sunrise? Watch that beautiful light. Feel, you know, I don't know about you, but when I watch him, it's almost as if you feel God's presence, because you know that he created this beautiful light, and we can, you know, just get in his presence and become like him. Become the light. It causes, we are the light of the world. We're supposed to be that city set on a hill, that light that's going to draw others, that's going to draw others to you and ultimately to him. And think about how beautiful that is, how God can transform lives by using you, how he can heal bodies and heal minds through you. Perform miracles through you. You may feel like, you know, you're not worthy of it, You may feel like you're not the chosen one. You're not, oh, no, no. But God has placed his light inside of you to help someone else. And to not just one, but to help all of his people, those who need you. He set this up from the beginning. He chose you from the foundation of the world. He has called you. You are his chosen one to be that light, to walk in the light, to demonstrate, you know, what his light does, what his light has done, and what it continues to do. Think about when we see displays of light. And I'm not just talking about Christmas lights, because sometimes I see some ugly displays of Christmas lights. It looks like some people just throw it any kind of way. But even when you see that beautiful chandelier, it draws attention. The way that it, you know, people decorate it, it draws attention. And so the same way that those beautiful lights draw our attention is the same way that God wants us to use his light that he places inside of us to draw attention so that they can come to him. Because he's going to use us, and he's going to use us all differently. He doesn't use us all the same way, but he uses us differently because we possess different skills, we have different gifts and talents, and so God uses all of that to display his light, to put you on display, and lights you up. He lights you up the same way people decorate their homes and decorate, you know, different events. It's a huge display, which draws attention, and people, they are drawn by light. They are attracted to light. But we got to make sure that, you know, we're giving off the right energy. Make sure it is God's energy, some positive energy. Because anything that's negative, we know, is a shadow of darkness, or even just darkness itself. But we don't want even a shadow of darkness to be attached to us or following us, or a part of our light. We want to make sure that we are displaying the light that God, that only comes from God. So think about the word light. But when you actually look up the word light, the definition is definitely a source of illumination. And this is what tripped me out. I went and looked up the word illumination, and the definition it gave me was light. But we know that there is a major difference between a light and things that can be used for, you know, light or the purpose of seeing or getting around. So, you know, we have candles, we have flashlights, we have light bulbs, which all those three things can cover a variety of different types of light, but it's flashlight, candles, and light bulbs. But guess what? Each of them eventually burn out, right? I mean, because with flashlights, the batteries are going to die. So that means flashlight's going to lose its power eventually. When it comes to candles, or maybe even fires, you know, torches, they're going to eventually burn down when there's nothing else to burn, which means it loses the power to bring forth light. And lastly, light bulbs, they have to be replaced as soon as it blows. even if it's an energy-saving or energy-efficient light bulb, it's still going to eventually blow, which means it also loses the power to bring forth light. And so you have to ask yourself, what lights you up? What ignites you? What brings you joy? What, you know, gets you on fire? You know, ask yourself these things. But Jesus should be the answer. You know, Jesus is the answer. But Jesus, he is that light that shines within us. It's what lights me up. It's what ignites me. Like, I know it only comes from God. It can only come from God when no one else or nothing else is around to ignite me. my only source is Jesus. He is that light. And so now let's go down to the 7th verse of the same chapter. And it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. So this is what lights me up. This is what ignites me. This is what brings me joy. The light. The light is what brings us joy. It's what keeps us going. It's what provides us the strength that we need. It's what lights our way. We cannot depend on man. We cannot depend on things to light us up. Or to do, you know, what God has called us to do. It's okay to have, you know, friends who encourage you and who empower you, but what about when they're not around? What about when you call them and they're busy and they just can't answer or they just can't talk? Well, what if, you know, they can't give you a word? You know, sometimes people are like, I need a word. Well, you know, open up your Bible and Jesus will give you a word. You do not have to wait on anyone else to do it for you. You do not have to, you know, you go right to the Word of God, and Jesus will empower you right there. Jesus will ignite you, and he will strengthen you so that you're able to shine, to bring him glory. You know, Rihanna has a song that says, shine bright like a diamond. Yes, we want you to, God wants you to shine bright because it's going to give him glory. And we have to always keep that in mind, that while we're shining, it's not just about us, it's not just for us, but it's all about Jesus. And it's all about glorifying his name. It's about helping the ones who need our light, strengthening those who need this light. And God is, he's using each and every one of us in his own way to glorify him by using that light. So what John had from that light was joy, just pure joy, Jesus' joy. Because, you know, when you light up, you have so much joy, especially when it's, you know, internal. And you know it comes from God, man, nothing can, you know, steal your joy. Nothing can bring you down when you are, you know, lit up, you know, we use the expression like we lit, like for real, we lit. But when you get lit because of God, then nothing can bring you down. Even when the enemy try to discourage you, when the enemy try to bring you down, you're like, nah, we lit, like I'm lit, like for real lit, like for real lit. And that's how you know it's all God. And even when things don't go the way that you want them to go, you can still be on fire for God. You can still be lit. But it's got to come from the light. Be light, our main source. Because even though we experience dark times, we still have to depend on that light. We can't lose our light. We can't allow it to burn. We can't allow people to burn us out or, you know, burn out our light. And I don't know if you're still walking in darkness. Maybe someone who's listening tonight, maybe still lost or, you know, walking in darkness. But tonight can be the night that you just, you know, finally just let your guard down and just give your life over to God and just allow him to put you on the right path. Allow him to show you the way so that you can shine for him. Because I promise you, he will not steer you in the wrong direction. We were all born in sin, so don't feel bad if you feel like, oh, I'm just the worst person in the world. No, God does not see you that way. He loves you so much that he sent his son just to die for you. His blood cleanses us from all sin. And so don't feel bad if you feel like you've messed up too much, that God won't forgive you, because that's not true. He will. He will. Every bad thought, every bad deed you may have done, God will forgive. He will forgive you for all sin. It says the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. No matter what you may have done in the past, no matter what sin you may have, you know, done or attempted, God will forgive. So if you're in the dark right now and you're tired of walking in the dark, you're tired of running into things and trying to maneuver your way in life, make tonight your night to say, you know what, that's it. I just need to just give it over to God and allow him to cleanse me, allow him to transform my life so that I can walk in the light as he is in the light. Allow him to enter into your heart and transform and renew your mind. And then you'll be able to, you know, walk out in the light. Discover that light tonight. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to make that decision. And I encourage you, I admonish you, even admonish you to make the decision right now. Before it's too late. Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not promised. So if you're ready to make that decision, if you're ready to come out of darkness, pray with me tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for being a just God, for being so gracious and being so merciful. God, we thank you for being a forgiving God. God, we believe that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. God, we believe that your son, the blood of your son, is able to cleanse us from all our sin and all of our unrighteousness. Tonight, we repent of all of our sins and all of our wrongdoings, and we ask for your forgiveness. God, we pray for your forgiveness of every evil thought, every sin that we may have attempted or may not even know we have attempted. God, we ask for your forgiveness. God, we ask that you create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. Purge us with his blood. Cleanse us, O God, that we may be white as snow. God, help us to walk in the light as you are the light, so that we can have fellowship with one another. Help us to avoid the darkness. God, we don't want to bring any shame to your name. We don't want even the shadow of darkness to be a part of us, but help us to be the light that you have called us to be. God, we pray that you will continue to strengthen us all. Bless us even mentally and emotionally, even during a time like this. Help us not to give in to the distractions that are going on in this world. Help us to stay focused. Help us to continue to work and to carry out our purpose that you have called us to do. God, we thank you. We praise you. Bless your name and give you all the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise that is due unto your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Time we're going to have our announcement for Purpose Kingdom Network.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We just thank and praise God for that word of love, that word of encouragement, that word of hope, that word of inspiration that the Lord sent to us this evening through Minister Arthenius. I have to tell you, the whole time you was talking, the one scripture that just stayed in my mind was Psalms, I think it's 119, and Psalms 119, and it's somewhere between 104 or 105. And the scripture is, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And when you was talking about encouragement, can I just share this real quick? Before I give the announcements, Minister, when you were talking about finding encouragement in the light, And I thought about, I had to have surgery on my thyroid years ago. And as they were getting ready to take me into pre-op to start the IV and start to, you know, drug me up before they put you to sleep, I had gotten scared. So, like, I mean, this spirit of fear came on me out of nowhere. I had gotten so scared, I convinced the orderlies that I had to go back to the bathroom. And in my mind, they was going to let me go in my room. I was going to slip into the bathroom, throw my clothes on, and sneak out the hospital. But they waited at the door. That's how afraid I had gotten. And they waited at the door. And I'm in this bathroom, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just praying. And I'm like, okay, Lord, these people right outside the door, so there's no way for me to get out of here. Give me something to hold on to. Give me something to hold on to. And the only scripture that came to mind was, thy word is a light, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And when I say the more I repeated it, the more encouragement that came over me, the fear slowly left me. And when I got back into the pre-op room, I'm sitting there praying, and the anesthesiologist had came out to talk to me, and she introduced herself, and I said, well, you know, bless God, the Lord is in control. She said, amen, and he's in control of it every step of the way. And I looked, I said, you're saved? She said, yes, ma'am. You're saved? I said, yes, ma'am. And I said, now I can relax. So I just had to share that when she was telling us that we can find encouragement in the light, and that light is Jesus, and we get it through his word, I'm trying to tell y'all, it really works. It really does work. We would like to thank you for joining in with us this evening on Purpose Kingdom Network for One Touch Transformation. We bless God for each and every one of you. For that person out there who by faith we believe has given their life to Christ, we encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary, where you can heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world, and you can grow in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But until you do, that's why God has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for Daughters of Ruth with host Reverend Maureen Lee right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. Again, that number is PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Know that we love you with the love of Christ. We again say thank you for joining in with us this evening. Minister Arsenius, wonderful, wonderful word this evening. Thank you for the unction to be obedient to the move of God and the move of the Holy Spirit in your life, and the ministry is back in your hands.
Thank you. Thank you for those announcements, and to God be the glory. I'm over here just smiling from ear to ear and giving God thanks, because it's all because of him. And for more information about One Touch Transformation, you can visit our website, which is onett.me. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under One Touch Transformation with Facebook, and with Twitter and Instagram _ONETT. For more information about myself, you can visit my website, arthenius.com, or follow me on Facebook under Arthenius J, and on Instagram, Arthenius J, and Twitter. And just want to leave this encouraging song with you. It's a very old song, but it just came to mind, and I was like, what better way to close it out? But it says, walk in the light, beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, I walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. And that's what we have to do. We have to walk in the light as he is in the light. And that's how we become the light to this world. Because we all have to represent Christ. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, we have to be that city set on a hill. And remember, it talks about we don't take the light and hide it under a bushel. So we can't be Christ-like if we're going to hide our light. We cannot be, you know, I can't think of it right now. But you can't miss what God has called us to do or to be. So if you're going to be a light, be a light. If you're not, then don't. Because we don't want you to mess it up for the rest of us. And I am so serious because there are some people who have just, you know, have taken advantage of others and have given Christians a bad name, and it makes it harder for us to shine and to be the light. But even when we have the misrepresentation going on, we still have to be the light. You have to do what's right. We have to do what's right. I'm not necessarily you, but we all have to do what's right, even when we are being misrepresented. Because God is still going to use us. He is still going to get the glory. And, you know, he's still going to, you know, just do what he does best. So despite what anyone else says, just be the light that God has called you to be and shine. And be excited about it. Be happy about it. I mean, because it's a great thing. It's a powerful thing. You know, light is powerful. Light is amazing. It's wonderful. It's attractive. Do know that it is attractive. So you have the good and the bad. I will say that. You have the good and the bad that is attracted to your light. But know where your strength lies. Know where your strength comes from. So even when you begin to attract those bad things, those evil things, you still have something to combat. You still have something to fight it off with. Because, you know, God will strengthen you. So don't give in, whatever you do, but tap into the light so that you become stronger and continue to walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Because wherever we go, we have to shine. And it will show. It will show who you belong to. And it will show who you are representing. And remember, we don't want even the shadow of darkness to be attached to us. It may try to attach itself to us, but we know where our strength comes from. We know where our power comes from, and it comes. So I encourage you to continue to tap into that light, continue to be the light. Even in a time of negativity, in a time of distress, in a time of turmoil, in a time of this pandemic, in a time of this election. It's my first time saying that since I started it, so because I know we're closing out. But even no matter what the results are, be the light. Be the light, okay? Be the light. All right, thanks for joining in. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the night. And I love you. God loves you even more. So thank you again for tuning in. I'm your host, Arthenius Jackson, with One Touch Transformation. Good night.
Jesus lives.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.